I said, of course I will. If I don't, you'll fuss on me. And I said, I've got a wife to take care of that. I don't have to drive 170 miles to find somebody to fuss on me. But if I were in her place, I have an idea I'd do a whole lot more fussing than she ever has. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I believe this is only about the second trip I've made anywhere since I was here last. And only the first trip I've made anywhere in several months that she didn't go with me to drive for me. But she's got some kind of a malady and has had for some time. You know, I've heard the expression share and share alike. There are some things you don't need to share. And we decided she'd do well just to keep that to herself, so she's at home with her ailments today. I don't intend to take but a moment or so. I don't intend to take a text. But anyway, let me mention, if I could, I put out a bunch of books out front. They're freebies. Take what you want. Take all of them. I have, I believe, three partial sets of Claude Casey's editorials. There's three more volumes at the printer. They should be back within the next month. So anybody that wants them, take them, and I'll bring some more. You folks have way, way more than paid for those books. There's no way I can express my appreciation for how supportive you've been. I have a passion to get as much Primitive Baptist literature in the hands of our people as I possibly can. You know, I look around among our people, and there's more instability among our ministry than I've ever seen in my lifetime. I like to talk about positive things. That's not positive. But sometimes you have to face up to reality. And I don't believe that republishing all these books by the old writers will solve our problem. But I believe it will help. Over the years, our Primitive Baptist people have been blessed with ministers who were sounder, more consistent, better informed than I believe in the last 150 years. We've had some of the best preachers, the best writers that there have been in any day and age. I spend a lot of time in reading some of those old writers. I've spent this past week reading something by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I believe is his name, a book on Puritanism. And he defends them just about as much as they can be defended. And I couldn't help but be amazed at how clear, how logical, how consistent, how well informed he could be so much of the time. And how confused and how contradictory that he could be at other times. And you always run into that in reading denominational writers. As far as I can tell, I hope you'll pardon me, my voice comes and goes. I don't know what's causing that, but every now and then it'll just go away. In a few minutes, it's back, and I suppose I'll have to live with it. It's been that way much of the time since I had throat cancer. And as I was finishing up with the cancer doctor, he made some comment about my voice. He said, it's not going to get any better. You just have to live with it. I said, sounds good to me. I'd already bought my grave lot and my gravestone and thought I was a short timer. So anyway, that's been several years now. But I started to say that as far as I can tell, our Primitive Baptists are the only people who make a clear distinction between what we call time salvation and eternal salvation. And there is no way that you can come up with a consistent system of doctrine without making that distinction. Some of our old Baptists nowadays don't want to make that distinction, and it causes an enormous amount of confusion. But anyway, I have a passion to get as much of that old material back in print as I can, and pray that the Lord will bless me during what little time I have left. You know, I turned 80 2 days ago. And if it was not certain before, it's certain now. I have missed my chance to die young. But you know, I look back and I remember when I turned 35, how that jarred me. I did a little arithmetic and multiplied that by 2, and it came out 70. Haven't been the same since. My 50th and my 70th had much the same effect. But you know, that's strange. My 80th seems to have had a liberating effect on me. I got that behind me, you see. Don't expect to see 90, but I'm looking that way. You know, I was thinking as I came down the highway a while ago. Now, I grew up in a small town. Don't know what it is like to grow up on a farm. Used to have a lot of my preacher friends talk about how it was following a mule and a plow all day. I say used to because most of those that talked that way are dead now. But anyway, I missed out on that, and I won't take your time telling you how I have grieved over having missed out on that experience. But those who used to talk about that would tell me how that an old mule would somehow plow with more energy, plow faster, especially when he was headed toward the barn. Along the evening, they said, you know, his pace would pick up. Of course, when he got to the end of the row and turned out to back the other direction, it was something else. But you know, the closer I get to the end of my way, the more I feel like I can see that barn up out there in the distance. The older I get, the more I think about the prospect. The prospect of it all. I look at the charts and they tell me that a man my age has about 5 or 6 years life expectancy. They don't know. But anyway, the time draws closer. And I think of that time. It's not going to be long until I see the face of my Lord. And I find that all along, I spend more time thinking about it. 5 years, 5 days, 10 years, and I expect to see the face of my Lord. I've been talking about it for a long time, but it becomes more of a reality. You know, Christian people have never been agreed as to whether we will know each other over there or not. I'm as convinced that we will as some of my friends are convinced that we will not. I think of a time years ago I was visiting with Brother Raven Lord, and during the day, he was taking me around to see some of the sick people, some of the nursing homes. And we had just visited an old brother in the nursing home. And it was apparent that he wasn't going to be around much longer. And as we left, he said, "Brother Hunt, I've followed so many of my friends to the graveyard." He said, "It's getting to where I feel like I've got more friends over there than I have down here." That's been between 30 and 40 years ago when he made that comment. Well, the longer I live, the more real that becomes to me. Brother Raven's gone now, and I miss him. I miss him. And I think of so many of my friends. So many of my friends that have gone on. And I look forward to that day. There's a song that Lonnie Mazingo Sr. always called for when he came to our meeting. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. I was thinking one day this week of a man I met. Only saw him twice in my life. But something he did had such an impact on my life. And I went back not long after that to tell him what a benefit he had been to me. I never saw him but once. And I went back to tell him what a benefit he was to me. And his partner told me he died just after I was there. I could tell he was so pale, he looked very sick. But I didn't realize he was that sick. But I went back to tell him what a blessing he had been to me. Let me tell you, one of the first things I'm going to do when I get over there, I'm going to hunt that old boy up. I want to tell him I want to tell him what a benefit he was to me. What a day. What a day that will be. And to think that every day we live, we're getting that much closer to that grand reunion when all the saints will be there. I was thinking this week, I want to look up Elijah. I want to let him tell me about those ravens and how they fed him. And I want to tell him about how the Lord has taken care of this boy. What a day. How exciting. You know, sometimes we talk about something, we talk, and it becomes, after a while, it becomes cliche. We hear it, till we don't hear it anymore. I remember once, more than 50 years ago, before I came to the Old Baptist, I was called to pastor a church 20 miles from where I lived. And anybody knows you can't pastor a church 20 miles away. I learned after I came to the Old Baptist, you can pastor a church 400 miles away. But I had to move. We had to be close to the church. And the only place we could afford was a little four-room house down next to the railroad. And every night, that train would come through, it would jar the house, it would almost bounce you. It seemed like it almost bounced you out of bed. But do you know, we hadn't been there more than 2 weeks till that train would come through. Didn't bother me a bit. I'd heard it till I didn't hear it anymore. You know, I think sometimes thinking about heaven's like that. We hear about it, and we don't hear it anymore. Sometimes there at home, I like to just close my eyes and think about it. And I can get excited there at home thinking about it. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. I thank you, brother.
God moves in
He chose your soul.
Yeah.